Thank you, Arpa.
Nancy to the SAC.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I think that is that's a common way that people, but one of the things that people do when they're running short on cash is they go to their landlord and they say, "I'll have it next month." And this is a time of year when most stations run into trouble with paying their payables, and they, and they plan to make it up during the fund drive. So they have to. That makes them, that takes away money from the next future months that they have to pay for. But hopefully, they pad their fundraising to cover, to ask for what they need to pay for and future expenses. But I think that was not, maybe that wasn't taken into account. I don't know. I mean, I know we had to do that until we got back in the clear when we had trouble.
Thank you, Nancy. Go ahead, Arpal. Arpal?
Okay, yeah. All right. Basically, WBAI, the figure I am thinking of, I'm not looking at it, I'm remembering it from meetings, is something on the order of, like, is it 135 a month we have to go through? But also, I want to make a few notes about how people are coming up with some numbers. Using the audits might seem to be the great way to do it because they're so authoritative, except where they're not. One of the things that's happening is BAI is being shown as carrying...
It's outside of the hallway somewhere. I'm not sure.
Hello? Hi, James. We hear you. Okay.
Sorry, I was not muted. I apologize.
Okay. One of the things that we are seeing is on the audits, WBAI is having to carry over $2 million in debt to the Empire State Building. We had been assured that, oh, this is an accounting thing. We have to carry that up until the point that the loan happened, and then it goes off BAI's books. It seems that it's being made as if that's actually something BAI has to do. So you have people saying BAI has this $2 point something million debt, and also we have to worry about the loan. Well, you that's double dipping in a negative way. So there's some that can be misleading. We had been assured that once it got past a certain point in time, that would of course that giant amount of expense would be missing from BAI's books. But I will also remind everyone that the Empire State Building contract, which has caused so much trouble, is something that nobody at WBAI ever saw until years, plural, after it had been signed. And I'll note that the executive director who signed it had been on the job for a very short period of time and did not negotiate it. It came from his predecessor, a Mr. Dan Siegel, who was executive director, and people can know where he comes from. And so we have a lot of problems with money at BAI. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about that. I say that often. The thing is, we currently have this bizarre thing of hitting WBAI just as it's raising money. And I track every one of these on-air fundraisers, and this one has started out much better than in the past. And there's also the fact that people, I've mentioned this before, the problem BAI has had is that it's a radio station that hasn't had a real program director in 20 years. Well, we've finally gotten somebody who is doing much better than 20 years of her predecessors, and we're starting to raise more money. And right when we start to get that, bang, people come in and shut things down. Again, the general manager would have been able to have paid off the 388 rent probably today or tomorrow or something like that, because the money comes in during this time. It was also mentioned that right now is a lean time for all of the Pacifica stations, because you'll do your summer on-air fundraiser, but it doesn't raise a great deal. But the summer on-air fundraiser is all you got between your spring and your fall one. So this is always a time when things run thin in Pacifica. And, of course, it runs thin at BAI. Now, I know that we need to do things about what's, you know, the BAI's cash problems and all of that, but I think it is amazingly egregious and not really, in my opinion, my personal opinion, in good faith, to hit the station while it's raising money and then start pulling out equipment and vandalizing the place, as has been done. And so, yeah, we can discuss WBAI's financial problems. We've done it before. But the spin that's being put on this is really about something else entirely, which I think ultimately is about the breaking up of all of Pacifica to eventually benefit a few individuals. And so that's what I think is going on here. And I think that the something does need to be done, but certainly not what has been done. This is something that, you know, if you want to complain about your not-for-profit status being revoked, go ahead and violate court orders and things and see if you do well there.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the time? You're not the timing person.
There is no time on this, but I did ask you to keep your comments short. So,
this is Nick for the stack again.
Arpal, I hear you, both of you. I just want to briefly address one of the comments that you made, and I can appreciate that WBAI has been burdened with the loan, I'm not sure about I think the kind of the tradition within Pacifica is to. Well, there is no tradition when it comes to this, right? Because this is a large amount and this is loaned money, and I don't see anything else on the books that's this like an anomalous event. So I don't know whether it would be more appropriate to have it have that loan charged off to the national office or to WBAI. I don't know. It's something worth discussing.
We do know.
But those figures.
Certificate debt.
Okay, that's fine. So it should be charged off to the national office if that's the case. But we can also, if we want to view these books in a different way, we can back that money out or proportion it, across the network or something, rather than saddling BAI and see how that makes things look. I don't really have an objection to that. It's a balance sheet item and an accrual item. And I can appreciate that it makes BAI look especially bad to have it completely resting on BAI's books. But I'm not sure that it actually changes the financial picture that much, except for in that one respect. But I do appreciate that it feels burdensome and unfair for it to be portrayed that way. And I think this is a discussion to have with the management of Pacifica and to see if there might be a fairer way of allocating it. Who was first on the stack? I'm sorry. I got interested in replying to Arpal, and I just lost track.
There was Sharon, and there was Nick Arena.
Nick was first.
Okay, Nick, go ahead.
So thanks. So two things. One, does anyone know if based on what seems to be about $60,000 a month in payroll and a little bit more, what the reason why the staff was laid off at this point rather than at other points in time? Was it that there was concern that the that this most recent in process pledge drive wasn't going to be successful. What were the circumstances around why, at this point in time, that the decision was to lay off the staff? And then secondly, as with WPFW and I think with other stations, there's a large portion, at least at our station, almost every single person that's a programmer on WPFW is a volunteer. Is that something that was explored or provided to the people who were laid off in order to provide some continuity and to continue to raise money in this at this point in time?
Nick, I'm afraid I don't have any answers to those questions since I wasn't involved in the decision. And the person that we most need to talk to isn't on the call. But if there's anybody else here who feels they can answer that, I can look into it for you, but I can't answer it right now. Bill, I'll put you in line behind Sharon, although I think you might have some information on the subject. Sharon, do you want to allow Bill to speak first in light of the questioning? Or would you rather take your spot? Go ahead, Bill, then.
Well, I mean, this has been building up for a while. It's a good question. And the basic idea is that we've been draining funds that were intended to be used and should be used for these other essential services for, you know, accounting, legal, engineering, audits, pensions, stuff like that, to cover shortfalls in WBI payroll. And this was an executive session, but I think it's probably something everybody should know. We've been notified that that NADA, who provides HR as well as accounting and some other related services, is going to stop providing services at the end of October if we can't figure out a realistic plan to pay them, because we owe them too much money. And, you know, they see that our inability just continues, and it's not getting better, if anything. That's the problem, is our cash flow is so critical. And if that stops, we won't have any money to hire anybody else to replace them. And, you know, that would mean an end to the audits and lots of other things. I mean, really, it's like driving Pacific over the cliff. And that's why we can't wait any longer. And by the way, Nick had a good idea. I think this was suggested numerous times over the last couple of years to use more volunteers. But WBI has actually added some additional paid staff. And so that kind of made the personnel cost more.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier, Bill. Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, so I kind of wanted to address some of the issues that have been raised. So I understand our Paul's point about the debt from the Empire State Realty Trust loan, or however that debacle being carried on WBAI's books. Yes. You know, so that's something, but it's not something that affects the day-to-day cash flow. And it's also true that there, on this very NFC, we've discussed in many calls payment back of the interest and the loan as a whole, and we've discussed various percentages of how the stations would share that payment. So I just wanted to point out that even though the debt is technically being carried on WBAI's books, our discussions on the NFC have always considered that payment of that debt would be carried by all the stations and, of course, yes, all the stations. So I just wanted to make that point. And then I wanted to say that it doesn't change. So that's just a debt that's being carried on the books. But the fact is that day-to-day cash flow is critical, as Bill said. And, you know, not making payroll for several times, being behind on rent, and then in addition, not paying central services. So, you know, it's all just going out, and particularly not paying, you know, within our own network, the Pacifica PRA, the radio archives, so that they're taking premiums and not actually paying, you know, within the company back for those premiums. I mean, we have to just be realistic about what is happening And I understand and hear everything that's being said about the fund drive, but this fund drive is no different than fund drives that have been going on for years. So we need to address the critical cash flow situation. And I want to reemphasize what Bill was saying about NEDA. If we do not pay NEDA, we will not complete the audits. People say, oh, why don't the audits get completed? It takes money, and we need to pay NEDA. So, I mean, you could, like, say, pay the staff at WBAI and don't pay NEDA. Is that really is that really saving Pacifica to let the auditors go in this situation? And that is what people need to understand. There's just no money. There's just a lot of debt. And I just wanted to that's all I want to say for now.
Thank you, Sharon. Go ahead, James. By the way, we only have 3 minutes. James, just 1 second. We only have 3 minutes left on this item. But go ahead and make your comment. And then I'd since R. Paul was the person who put this on the agenda, if he would like a final word, I will invite him to do so. So go ahead, James.
I just like to say I hear all sorts of beneficent, high-sounding reasons for why we have to save Pacifica and we have to stop the bleeding at WBI. But what to me gives the lie to it all is that you do this right in the middle of our fund drive. If any of this stuff was serious about how we're gonna get some money and we're gonna save money and stop the bleeding, you wouldn't have done this in the middle of a fund drive and incurred severance costs and all the other costs, the legal costs, flying out to New York to come in and close our station, all the costs that are involved in what has been done here. And I think there are other motivations, and it has to do with not having been able to shove through your bylaws amendments. And if you're lucky and you can purge one of your own members from KPFA for having the temerity to stand up and say that he believes in WBAI and he believes that WBAI
point
should
of
be
personal
preserved.
Privilege.
Go ahead. What's your point of personal privilege?
Oh, I'll wait till it's done, but I want to make a comment at the end.
Okay. James,
all
go
right.
ahead and finish your remarks.
I just want to say that I think this is timed to interfere with our elections, to prevent us from broadcasting if there should be a proposal to sell a station, because we won't have any air, to prevent us from raising funds, and I think it's disingenuous to say that this is being done with beneficent purposes.
Okay, I just wanted to correct a record since James said "your," and I assume he was referring to me. I want to clarify for all of Pacifica, I did not support the petition. I did not support the bylaws amendment. I did not sign the petition. So please stop assuming things about me. That's all I have to say on that.
If I may respond, I just say that that was intended not as a specific "your" directed at an individual. It was a general "your" directed generally. I apologize if I was not clear.
Thank you, James. R. Paul, would you like a final word on this? We're out of time.
Okay, I'll be brief as possible. I would just say that a lot of this has come up again. We know that there are these cash flow issues, and there are cash flow issues all over Pacifica. And that I do believe that if you look at it, it is bizarre to think that somehow Pacific is going to suddenly save money. You know, you want to say we added people. Well, actually, we took somebody off at 1099 and put them on a W-2. That person's been there for a while. The thing is, there are ulterior motives here. The reasons why these things are being done, I think, has been articulated by others. It makes no sense. It makes no sense to hit the station. It's not in the middle of our fundraiser. It's in the first few days. We weren't even on the air fundraising for a full week. We started October 1st. October 7th, we're off the air. The start of a fundraiser, and again, it was a fundraiser that was starting to start out better than others for years going past. There are things that need to be done, things that need to be corrected. This was not logically a way to correct any of those things. This is done for a different reason. That's what I have to say.
Thanks, Art Paul. I'd like to take the opportunity to speak for myself on this just mention two quick things. One is something that I've repeated to a number of people, and I will continue repeating until I feel that everybody has at least heard it if they don't fully believe it. And that's that I don't know of anybody in the organization that wants to sell the AI. I mean, I just don't think that is in the cards at all. I'm also not convinced at this juncture that this related to the bylaws issue. I think they were separate issues. They're related. They're for sure related. But I'm not sure that one caused the other. Bill could speak to this more, but I don't really want to waste any more time on the Finance Committee talking about it. It is a separate, though related, issue again. I just don't happen to believe it. Just knowing what I know. And I can go into considerable detail on this, but I prefer, you know, if those of you that are interested in my opinion on it would just send me an email, I'd be happy to articulate that. But we have other business tonight, so I'd like to move on to the next item on the agenda, if we could, which I believe is a discussion of the overall Pacifica financial picture, the financial statements that were released, and trying to develop meaningful metrics for judging individual stations. I guess I will I'll start off this discussion with the part that I've been working on this week, and some of you have been, I think all of you probably, most of you, all of you, I think, have been notified about this. I'm trying to gather some metrics that'll help measure what's important in station functioning. Obviously membership is a crucial issue. So far, that's the only thing that has a lot of continuity across the network, is the amount of money donated per member. So it makes sense that driving for higher membership is something that every station should do. I don't have any figures for listenership that would correlate to membership. So I don't know whether listenership has any impact on membership, although it would seem logical that it would, though there would be some interesting, it'd be an interesting thing to study and find out. I'm interested in how much staff it requires to run a station efficiently. I don't know the answer to that question. Never run a station. I'd rely on the data to tell me that stuff and then ask questions. Why some stations have two or three times as many employees as other stations and are more profitable. That'd be a question I'd like to ask. But developing the metrics that illustrate these points and that bring out these issues within the organization, I think would be a really good thing to do. An important tool set for, I don't think for the NFC, but probably for business managers at the local station. Certainly for management, it would be a good thing to know so that they can judge the performance. And then, maybe we can have some benchmarks. Hey, station X, you appear to be a little bit overburdened on the employment based on the amount of members that you have. Can you do something about that? Or you appear to be understaffed. You should really hire some more people so that you're serving your membership better cut costs somewhere else, figure out how to make that all work, but without any meaningful metrics. And I don't think we're really sharing this information as a network either, which is silly, I think. We have a lot of wealth of knowledge from these individual units and we're not sharing it. So it makes it seem like it's like, everybody has a little secret or something, and we don't want to share the information. And I don't understand that either. I think it's probably born more out of just provincialism and just complacency than anything else. But I think it's important. So that's why I wanted to open this discussion and discuss some of these issues that affect the finances of the organization as a whole, and just kind of go down the list and talk about the information that's been provided. I'm sure that some of you out there are wondering why now. And the basic reason is that, you know, we have more current and up-to-date financial information now than we've had in years. I really haven't been able to speak on this subject before with any confidence, you know, without knowing, without at least having partial, maybe incomplete data from each individual station. It's been hopeless. I mean, how can you possibly evaluate a station without knowing that? So until recently, I really wasn't able to say anything. So that's why this information emerged when it did. No other reason than that. I felt it was my responsibility all along to do this as someone interested in finance and as a member of the PNB. I just didn't have access to it. So that's why now. So that's my background to this discussion. So I'll take anybody who's interested in being on the stack. Thanks.
So Chris, I'll be on the stack, but I'm happy to not be first in line and give other people a chance to speak.
Okay, Nick. Anyone else?
I'll go after Nick.
Nancy?
Okay, I'll let you go first, Nancy. Nancy, go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I've been reading a bunch of the emails and different analysis of all the different stuff. I need to have all these spreadsheets and everything sort of explained to me. And then I can look at them and see it. But I heard an interesting, since this is about metrics, I read an interesting metric that was by one of the members, not of the PNB, not of any committee, but I guess it's a KPFA member, on the number of dollars generated per employee per station, you know, by station. And if you looked at it, it was like the number of dollars generated per employee by and I don't know if the calculation was done correctly or not, but I think it's an interesting metric that maybe if you get the right numbers,
Nancy,
and do the correct calculation, could be used.
Yeah, Nancy, can you hold on for a second? I actually have that one on my spread. Oh, never mind. I'm going to have to dig it up. I got it on an alternate server. I actually have it on a Google server. Go ahead and finish your comment.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't remember exactly the figures. They were around 100,000 per employee. The West Coast stations, which have a lot more employees, actually generated less per employee. If you counted the amount of revenue generated if you calculated the amount of revenue generated per employee, the West Coast stations was less per employee than the East Coast stations and Texas. And so I don't know how accurate that was, but it seems like an interesting metric to use. And
it is an interesting.
And also leads me to wonder why the BAI staff was cut and not some of the West Coast station staff to cover the NEDA and other bills.
Yeah. I actually agree with you at the basic level. The revenue per employee figure is something that's actually a really common metric in industry. And you know, for obvious reasons, KPFT, since they're running on a skeleton crew, has the highest revenue per employee of any station in the network. It's basically three times what KPFA has in terms of revenue per employee. And that's why, you know, I look forward to the opportunity to explore some of these metrics and what they actually mean, you know, because it may turn out, and, you know, this is pure speculation on my part because I have absolutely nothing to back this up. I've been thinking about it, obviously, just as you have, but it may turn out that it requires, like, more staff or something to produce programming of a certain nature at individual stations. I actually don't have a clue why, and it may just be a fact of history, too. You know, these stations may have had a lot of staff when they had a lot of revenue, and they just haven't cut a lot of staff as the revenue's fallen. I don't know what the answers are. I really don't. So it's something worth exploring. It's an item of interest, and it would help the profitability of the organization overall and the survivability of the organization overall to address these things. So I look forward to that. So that's one of the reasons I really would hope that, yeah, Bill, I will get to you, that I would hope that the individual stations will cooperate in this effort is because it'll help illuminate some of these issues that could be productive for the entire organization. So go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, it's an interesting metric, but, you know, we can come up with all kinds of different metrics, and taking them out of context may not necessarily tell us a whole lot. But I'm glad you're looking for metrics, Chris. But just for example, this one, the one that Nancy mentioned, you have to make sure you include 1099 people. And I don't think what I saw included them, or at least not all of them, because some of our stations have quite a few 1099 staff. And another thing is that the cost per employee varies, even within a station, and certainly between stations. And so
I can address
you can't
that
just look at revenue. Well, okay, but you can't just look at revenue per employee. You also have to look at total expenses or expenses per employee,
true.
Perhaps.
Right. So what Bill is talking about is a negative. It's a negative metric. The one that Nancy brought up is a positive metric. So this negative metric would be cost per employee. And once again, we see the same variability across the network. The cost per employee at KPFA is one-third what it is at WBAI and at KPFT. So then the question becomes, how meaningful are these metrics, right? I mean, how much do they actually impact the bottom line? Because KPFT is generating a profit or a projected profit in this current period, even though they have the highest cost per employee. Why is that? You know, I mean, is it that points to whether it's necessary to have as much staff as we have. So that it still gets back to that question. But it also doesn't really say that, you know, that's the silver bullet either. Right. Because if the silver bullet was the cost per employee, then KPFA would be floating the boat right now and really just like utterly saving the network and generating millions of dollars and whatever, and we wouldn't have any concerns. And KPFA is basically breaking even. I'm not criticizing KPFA. I am slightly praising KPFT. I'm just saying that these metrics, that, you know, they need to be analyzed and they need to be compared, and we need to dig deeper than just looking at them, because as I pointed out in my report, each of these stations has slightly different characteristics to them, in some cases wildly different characteristics to them, in terms of how they're staffed, in terms of their audience, in terms of how much membership they have, and in terms of the amount of revenue they generate. So, thank you. Anyway, I think somebody else was on the staff. Nick was. Yeah, sorry, Nick. You ended up getting shoved way down there.
That's okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're a little muffled tonight, but other than that, I can hear you fine.
So, you know, I'm going to make a comment and then kind of get to your point, Chris. I mean, right now, just philosophically, Pacifica has a huge opportunity to increase its listenership because of the times we live in, we could really be a voice and a source of information to capture what's happening in our country right now. And we could be really looked to as an alternative to some of the other media that perhaps people are finding less inclusive and more parochial. In each of our cities, I think we butt heads against the NPR's stations or a commercial station that captures most of the audience. In D.C., the number one radio station is WAMU, the NPR station. They had by far lead the market and have for as many years as anyone can remember. So as we try to think about, well, what kind of company are we, what kind of organization are we, and how do we rank ourselves, and what are the metrics to do that, you know, we have, as Bill and Sharon of other people have said, there's some things around where we compete and who we compete against and how we can be effective to compete against them. But as the National Finance Committee, I don't think we've sort of delved into what's really the essential question in my mind. In my mind, the essential question is that this company, this organization, operates at sometimes as one organization, but most of the time it's five autonomous organizations that have problems getting along with each other and being able to govern each other, and have issues with the challenges that come up with what happens when you have, you know, five really separate units. And I think it would be helpful for the National Finance Committee to actually look at the overall structure of the financing of the stations, how the stations raise money, how the stations spend money, and how the overall organization is trying to be a viable financial model, and look at ways to make the whole organization function. Metrics on a station-by-station basis have some merit, but it doesn't seem to be built on an overall philosophy of how we're going to financially run this organization, and it seems like some time ought to be spent on how we do that. If we don't really have that basic foundation, then all of these arguments that come up are just arguments, and we never really get anywhere. And to pull it to where my first comment is, we don't get anywhere, and we're less effective, and we're not taking advantage of the opportunity that is right in front of us.
This is James. I apologize. I dropped the call, but I'm back now. Sorry.
Thank you, James. Nick, I appreciate what you said and the general sense of it. But I'm having trouble understanding. Do you have anything specific in mind? I mean, I understand the goal.
Yeah.
I get that. But you appear to have given this some thought. Do you have anything specific that you'd like to offer or that you think might help us in that endeavor?
I do, and this may sound controversial, but I think we have to stop operating as five separate divisions and operate as one company. And I think we have to not only structure the revenue side of the business, but also the expense side of the business as one company versus five divisions, actually seven divisions, five companies, one archives, and one national office that are not working together at one mission. Each individual enterprise, there's built in either competition or lack of cooperation. I don't think that the model of separate entities trying to manage their own budget works anymore. I don't think that separate entities with separate development plans that are not together works anymore. I don't think we're leveraging off the strengths of being in the five of the biggest media markets in the country. We're not leveraging that. I think, to much perhaps a disagreement of many, the five to seven business unit model just doesn't work in 2019. And we've got to revamp and centralize positions that are redundant, manage
national campaigns for fundraising and manage expenses on a national basis in order to survive. Otherwise, we're not going to survive.
I appreciate that again. If anybody else on the committee would like to speak to any sort of specifics that they can think of in order to engender that that idea, that concept of working together, I would be interested in hearing that. Is there anybody out there who has a suggestion? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Art Paul.
Okay.
Go ahead, Art Paul.
Okay, well, a few things. We've seen in Pacifica ideas of making it all one big thing, and nobody wanted that. It was another one of our times of great turmoil, such as what we're dealing with right now. And so it looks good, but it is full of so much danger, and Pacifica has people in it who just aren't going to be able to handle that in real life. And that's a part of it, is the nature of Pacifica, with a huge amount of political programming and things like this, and the way you get into Pacifica, has made it so that there are all sorts of people with all sorts of agendas in Pacifica. And that's a part of, one, how good it is to have alternatives, but two, how impossible it can be to deal with things. Regarding metrics, you have to be very careful with metrics. Metrics come out, basically it comes down to a lot of mathematics and logic, and you need to have serious training on this. I have certainly seen wonderful examples put forth by people who know what they're talking about, of how you can take a few small things and make this great argument, and it looks like, oh, wow, from these metrics, X is happening and we must do Y. Whereas, in fact, Y will produce exactly the opposite of what you want. Amateur metric making is a pitfall, and it's something to be watched out for. Professional people can do it to some degree. Not all companies with professional people doing their metrics survive. It's just, life is just difficult. We're having discussions here tonight about BAI and its failings to do stuff, and nobody mentions, hey, did anybody remember that just a few months ago, something like $583,000 came in from lists from somebody in northern New Jersey, and gee, what radio station could possibly be related to why Pacifica got that much money? Well, there's no other radio station broadcasting into northern New Jersey, so obviously that comes from BAI, but obviously nobody wants to acknowledge that. And this goes back with bequests going back for a couple of years now. The problem with Pacifica is the people in it, and that is our difficulty. And again, addressing the metrics thing, you have to have professionals doing it. You can mislead yourself very easily with making up your own metrics. And, I mean, you can also do things like, as I pointed out before, with the sort of double dipping in a negative way of having a loan outstanding plus the Empire State bill outstanding simultaneously. You can make mistakes. So I think we can do something with a little bit of metrics, but we got to be goddamn careful with that. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Art Paul. I'll defend, my idea a little bit later, but I'd rather just open the floor up to further discussion while we can still have it. We have another 22 minutes left on this item, and 20 minutes, I guess, and then we'll have to close out business. But is there anybody else that wants to speak to it? No? Okay. So
This is James with a request for information.
Sure, James, go ahead.
It's not about metrics, but it's about what our poll was discussing, which was that will. I have come upon some information about that bequest indicating that the testator's intention was to have that $583,000 to Pacifica go in lieu of WBAI payments for central services and other outstandings. So my question is, who has a copy of that will so that we can determine whether any of that intention was expressed in the will?
I can't answer that question. R. Paul, do you happen to know the answer?
I don't have a copy of the will.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Pacifica may, however.
All right, so we should try to unearth that. Thank you.
Sure, yeah. And yeah, it would be good to follow the will of the person who put up that money. I agree completely with that. So I was just going to make a slight defense of the metrics, just from my own perspective. I'll just use myself since I'm the one who's interested in it. My interest in Pacifica is I have no. I mean, I'm a listener to KPFA, and I understand that that automatically labels me as a West Coast guy. But candidly, I'm not interested in individual stations. I'm interested in the organization. To the degree that individual stations affect the organization, I'm interested in that. But I, I'm a business person, and so I'm interested in the business. So the overall impact of each individual station on the business is important to me, but mostly I'm interested in the overall business. And what I was going to say is that it's possible that the stations are so diverse and so unique that the metrics won't actually say anything. That's possible. That, I might be just completely wasting my time on this, and I'm prepared for that. I'm approaching this like a scientist. I'm doing cell research on some weird piece of biology, and I'm trying to figure out, how it reproduces or at what rate it reproduces. I'm prepared to accept any challenges to the data that come up because I'm interested in the practicality of them and in the science of them and in the wisdom of them and in the reality of them and in the applicability of these metrics. And if they fail those tests, then they should be discarded. They're useless. But I felt that for the first time in 3.5 years that I've been associated with Pacifica, that there's an opportunity here to actually use some relatively recent and relatively good data to do this stuff. And I understand the concerns about how some of these items are allocated. I think I'm doing running averages for all these metrics too, by the way. In other words, I'm taking the organization as a whole, and then we can compare the individual units, and we can fight this out on a station-by-station basis where there are anomalies like the bequest that have an impact on these figures and on these metrics because they distort the metrics. In other words, I want the truest metrics that I can possibly get. If there's something that's messing those metrics up, it should be backed out because it's not helping the data. So I just want to reiterate that my only skin in the game is trying to develop something that's meaningful and helpful for Pacifica. And if that's not something that can be done, then I'm willing to perfectly admit to that and say, okay, well, we gave it a shot, and there's just nothing. There's no data that we can use here, and we'll have to rely on other things. But I think it's worth a try. It's hard to argue with the numbers if they show anything. like for example, the revenue per member thing. I think is a pretty solid number. It doesn't vary that much from station to station, from demographic to demographic. I mean, yeah, it's 160 to 250. That's a range, but it's not like 20 to 400. It's meaningful, I think, that basically members of Pacifica are donating an average of $220 a year. I think that's meaningful. And so, you know, stations that are getting a little less than that should try and get their members to donate more and figure out what it takes to do that. And stations that are exceeding that should be given a pat on the back and saying what a great job they're doing, getting, you know, revenue out of their members. In other words, pleasing their membership. I, you know, maybe you can criticize that, but I think that that's meaningful. So that's the first thing that I've come across that just really caught my eye and said, okay, you know, this is a membership driven organization. That's cool. You know, that's thing one. It doesn't really help us all that much because I think everybody knows that. What I'm trying to find is something that nobody knows or that people are only like mildly aware of. And just make that something that people focus on a little bit more. But if nothing like that can be found, I'm perfectly willing to just say, okay, we tried and there's just nothing there. So that's my objective and my motivation for all this stuff. And I probably used the word metrics about 45 times in the last hour. And I'm sorry that it's probably giving you all fatigue. And so I'll let it rest at that. Thank you.
Nancy?
Are Paul for stack?
Nancy, go ahead.
Sharon for the stack.
Okay, Sharon, I got you.
So I support metrics, the idea of metrics. I mean, isn't the budget the budget and the actuals a basic metric? You know, you set a budget and for where you want to go, and then the actuals tell you whether or not you got there and how far you undershot or overshot. Those, of course, the bequests, I guess they're not part, I mean, they shouldn't be part of the actuals that you planned on getting, but they can certainly fill in the gaps, but you still need to be cognizant. The metric needs to be set up so that you're cognizant of the gaps that you would have had if you didn't get that bequest. So it seems like you got to have some way of measuring where you are so you can figure out how to get to where you want to go, you know. So I support the idea of metrics.
Thanks, Nancy. I'll comment on that later. Who was next? I'm sorry. Was it Sharon or?
Paul was
next? Or Paul's next. Sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Well, metrics can be useful, and yet metrics are hard. Basically, what you do is you want to use a metric so you can get a handle on what your reality is, which for something wide-ranging can be so difficult. But the other part of getting a metric and knowing where things are is so that you can do forecasting. Forecasting is what's really difficult. You look at the figures and you see that most businesses fail after like about 3 years. And part of the reason is you can't forecast so easily. Forecasting into the future, you know, it starts out with astrology thousands of years ago, and it gets into people having computer programs to predict how to play the market today. This is related to what we're talking about. Taking for example, in terms of the difficulty of this, your average $220 a year for Pacifica members. Well, you could say, well, this station has $220 a year for the members, and it's right in the middle of all the other Pacifica stations. One station has more, one station has less per member. But you have to look at that and look at the details. And when you look at the details, you say, oh, but maybe this one this station is offering more premiums, and maybe they're very attractive premiums, and you have to factor that in because the membership, the concept of membership, starts varying right there. If you offer a some health care premium and it's health care for, you know, curing your foot fungus or something like that, geez, that might attract some people, maybe not a lot of others. Some other premium might be, oh, something like get rich quick in a minute, and, oh, that'll get a lot more of those. And you have to look at, you know, that 220, what is the premium cost? Are some of these programs pitching on the program itself with no premium? And you have to start factoring that in. And then you're getting into details. And metrics are an attempt by human beings to kind of deal with things in a larger way at a higher level so that we don't have to think about those details, which start bouncing off into infinitude after a bit. So metrics can be somewhat useful, but even in something like the average contribution per year from members, when you want to look at your details, you have to start factoring in a lot of relevant stuff. Are they pitching a lot of premiums or fewer premiums? What kind of premiums are they? What happens when a station hits a really hot premium, which I've seen, where you have something that just takes off like crazy? I mean, probably. Well, I think I've seen some premium that's actually cosmetics. And, you know, that could take off for some people, and I've seen other premiums just go crazy with how much they make in a minute. And so basically the metrics can be something, but it's all forecasting, and even when you have the professionals doing it, as I mentioned before, you don't necessarily get a guarantee on anything. So, yeah, metrics are nice, but we need to keep in mind that there are a lot of variables involved in each individual metric, and we can't base too much on them. But there's that. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Arpal. Before I forget, there was a lot there that both of you said, and so I just wanted to quickly address both of the last two speakers. I think a budget is a little bit different than the metrics, in that budgets are decoupled from the metrics in our organization. In other words, I think that if you go station manager by station manager, I think what you will find is they use past budgets to forecast future budgets, future expenses, and so they don't actually take anything into account other than the previous budget. So they're not actually analyzing, as Arpal mentioned in the second comment, you know, what is actually generating these revenues and why. I think the whys are actually the main reason I'm interested in the metrics is that if we know that one station is generating one and a half times the amount of revenue per list or per member that another station is generating, why? Why is that? I mean, and maybe there's a nice logical explanation for that, in which case you just say, okay, you just drive for more members then, you know? Great, you know? End of discussion. But also, you might be able to franchise those ideas too, right? Maybe something that's working great in one station and generating 50 cents more on the dollar per member would work well for another station. So those ideas should be shared with other stations. This worked for us. This generated 50% more per member than you guys are generating. And at least the GMs would have the opportunity to say, okay, well, our listeners and members are never going to go for that, so we're not going to do that. Or they could say, hey, you know, what the hell? Maybe that's worth a try. Let's try it and see what happens. See if it increases our contributions. But without that information, without knowing which stations are performing successfully by these metrics and which stations are underperforming, I'm not suggesting that we necessarily use it as a mallet to beat the stations down that are underperforming. In fact, I think that's a terrible idea. I think we should use it as a way of raising up the stations that are underperforming and helping them perform better. But I mean, and I understand, R. Paul. I really get. I can hear what the implications of what you're saying, in that that metrics in the past have been used to beat stations down. I don't think that's useful. I don't think that's helpful to the organization. They shouldn't be used to beat stations down. They should be used to help stations perform better. And if it turns out that those concepts are not franchisable, that they don't work for one, that works what works for one station. Grace has actually articulated this over and over to me, that what works for station, you know, for her station wouldn't work for BAI. That's fine. You know, she can say that, and maybe it's true. But if we have the metrics to show that her station is actually underperforming BAI in that exact same way, then there's no point in doing that anyway. Or if we have metrics that show that her station is way outperforming BAI, then why not try it? You know, why not try it? And so that's what I think is helpful in using these things. They're just tools, you know. You don't have to use them, but if they're in the box and you have them available to you, they're things that you can try to help your station improve and perform better. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sharon. I didn't mean to take up so much time, but go ahead.
Oh, no. It was perfect because somehow I just called that kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So I didn't really hear the last part you just said, but actually I was just going to say I really appreciated appreciate your attention to the metrics, Chris, because they do help us understand what is happening. And not even for forecasting, but even to compare within a station, like year over year, you know, maybe certain changes are made that do increase the revenue per employee, you know, so you could evaluate things. And that's why I think it's helpful. And I appreciate the fact that you take the time to, you know, look into all of that, because it does take a lot of time to analyze all that. So, because what I wanted to say was, I appreciate the point about the approximately $500,000 bequest that went into WBAI, and also agree that, of course, the, you know, intention of the person that gave the money should be honored. But I wanted to point out that, you know, each station has its own story about why certain things that have happened to that station. You know, for example, at KPFA, we would say, you know, that our members had paid for the national office building that was sold and used to actually help obtain the very loan that was used to, you know, get this loan to pay off the settlement. So anyway, that's what the metrics are helpful for, is that takes in all this various kind of information and allows us to analyze what is happening without just focusing on one single thing, you know, and sort of, you know, giving it perhaps more importance than it's due. So that was all I wanted to say, was I appreciate your attention to the metrics.
Thanks, Sharon. Okay, so we only have 4 minutes left here. Unless somebody has something pressing that they want to add, I would like to move on to the next agenda item. Is there anything else anybody wants to add? Okay. So the next agenda item, I believe, is new business. Is that right, R. Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any new business that anybody would like to bring to the table other than the new business that we've already discussed? I hear nothing.
Well, I would simply like to say I would hope that Pacifica would stop cannibalizing itself. All right.
I agree with that. As I mentioned in my report, I think, you know, this business of liquidating assets and taking drastic moves like that is just not a good thing. It's not a good way to go, and it's not a way to build a profitable station and or a network. And you know, we need to be more strategic and long term than that. And I feel badly about how this week has gone. I feel badly about how this last month has gone. It's been a very difficult, probably the most terrible stretch on the PNB that I've had. And I would hope that we can somehow bridge this divide. I realize that it's probably worse today than it has been at any time. But I also believe that, you know, that there's a significant majority on the PNB that want to see this station succeed and don't give a damn about the politics. You know, they're willing to set the politics aside and just try and build a more successful network. And I understand that the current state of distress that we're in will have to be overcome first. There's a lot of stuff that has to be dealt with right now before we can probably talk that way. But I really, really hope that we can get there, because I think this is a gem, you know, that we're sitting on here, and that we owe it to our members and our listeners to preserve it. And I hope we can find a way to do that, because it just makes me sad to see so many people fighting when I think there's a broad consensus that what we're fighting for is the success of Pacifica. So, and I don't, you know, I don't think that there's anybody that fundamentally disagrees with that. So it just baffles me that we can't find a way to, you know, have the vast majority of the board speaking in one voice to that effect. I look forward to the day when that happens. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn if anyone wants to offer it.
Fred moves we adjourn.
All right, Fred. Thank you very much. Is there any objection to the motion to adjourn? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned, and I thank you all very, very much for a surprisingly cordial discussion under the circumstances. And I really, really, Paul, I can't express how much grief I have over this last few days here. It's just totally, I don't have words for it. And you know, if it were my place to apologize, I would. I just, but I do feel incredible sympathy and empathy for what's going on, and I understand how difficult it is. So I just want you all to know that I'm just going to continue working on the financial picture of the organization, because that's the only reason I'm really here, and I appreciate everybody's meaningful contribution to that end. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Chris.
Good night, Chris.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you all.